Hello and welcome to the Disney Magic Hour, episode number 8. On this week's show, we are going to tell you about a Star Wars Disney cruise that we're going to be going on. We'd like to invite you along. We are also going to be helping out a Disney newbie and going to go over some other little news of stuff that's going around the park. So to my left, as always, is Brian. Say hello, Brian.
Hello, Brian.
Across from me is Melissa. Say hello, Melissa.
Hello, Melissa.
And to my right is our special guest this week. Say hello, Don.
Hello, Don.
Hello, Pete. And say hello, Pogo.
George, I think we should listen.
Go very well.
Never give and I'll never be. This sings songs, us sings this. Never give and I'll never be. This sings songs, us sings this. Never gives.
Okay, that was Expialidocious by Pogo. A lot of Mary Poppins stuff in there, as you can tell. You can find more of his music over at youtube.com/Pogo. You can find even more over at soundcloud.com/Pogo Mix. And over at pogomix.net, where you can also find his latest album. You can actually stream it, listen to it, and then basically name your own price. We are lastgenpodcast.com. You can find us on Twitter at lastgenpodcast. You can find us on Facebook at the same name. And you can find us on iTunes under the same name, and you can also search for Disney Magic Hour. And Brian, I always forget, what's the name of the Facebook page?
Specifically? Disney Magic Hour Podcast Group.
Disney Magic Hour Podcast Group. You can find us over there as well. So, what are we doing this week? For the majority of the show, we are going to talk to our friend Don, who actually we've known for a long time.
Long time.
Yeah, since high school, right?
Yeah, definitely since high school. So, and you're going with your family to Disney?
That's
when?
Correct. We plan on going in February during our February break.
When's the February break?
I believe it's the dates that I picked out were February 15th to the 19th.
Yeah, it's after because it's usually like President's Day, right?
Oh, okay.
Like yeah. That. And it's usually that week.
Okay, you're saying after as in after the cruise that we're going to?
Yeah.
Yeah, so
I didn't want to preemptively say too much.
Yeah, no. All right, so we're going to basically, Don's got a list of questions he's going to ask us. You've gone to Disney before, but it's been a while now, and now you're going with two kids, right?
Well, yeah, I went my first time about 3 years ago when my daughter Riley was one, and it was more or less just trying to, you know, she was too young to really enjoy it, so I didn't really do a lot of planning, and it was an extended family trip too. So it wasn't just my wife and our daughter Riley. It was with my in-laws and then my brother and sister-in-law with their kids as well. So their kids were a little bit older, and I think it was a little bit more geared towards them than us. So
I gotcha.
So this time after that trip, I decided we're gonna do it up and do it up right. You know,
princesses, okay, great.
And everything. So
and how
it's just gonna be you guys.
So far, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Riley's 4 and Peyton's is 1.5, but she'll be 2 by the time we roll into Disney.
Oh, yeah. So that should be good.
She'll be young enough to identify characters and be excited about it. So I'm pretty pumped about the trip. I can't wait for it. And, you know, I just hope I could do a good job planning it. And
it's a lot at first. It, you know what? It seems like a lot. It's really not.
No.
But if you're not, like, regularly going there, when you first look at everything, it's like, wow, all right, where could I possibly start?
And that's exactly what I felt like when I opened up the webpage the other week.
Yeah.
When I started looking at it, I was like,
even just picking a hotel.
Yeah.
It's exactly. Like, oh, my God, there's so many hotels. For us three, me, Brian, and Melissa, that
it's
list doesn't
easier,
work
yeah.
really because we know that we're going to go to a DVC resort and whatnot, so it's a lot simplified, and we don't have to worry about anybody else, you know, which also makes it a big thing. But then we go into the whole, you know, a car, do I want this, do I want that, yada, yada.
So we'll help.
So, yeah,
we'll
so we're going to go into that.
Get you going.
Since this is actually going to come out tomorrow, I'll let everyone know, if anyone is a local, Friday night at 8 o'clock, the Last Gen crew, most of us, I think, are going to go see Ant-Man at the Regal Deer Park Theater, which sports one of their RPX screens, which basically what the RPX is, it's basically a premiere experience theater. It's a gorgeous large screen. The seats are incredibly comfortable. And the sound is fantastic. It's one of the better... I think it's the best place to see a film in Long Island.
Yeah,
right with now. Staying on Long Island.
Yeah,
I would say that. It's not an IMAX screen, but there are no real IMAX screens on Long Island anyway. And the film wasn't shot in IMAX, so it doesn't matter. The picture's just blown up. This is also a large format screen regardless. So the difference between this and your average IMAX screen you're going to find locally, there really almost is no difference. So if anyone's interested in doing that, we have it up over on our Facebook page. Friday, 8 p.m., Regal Deer Park, Ant-Man for Marvel's latest release, which, hey, it's sort of Disney-related, so there you go. The other thing that we want to talk about is a cruise. Melissa, do you want to tell the people about that?
Yep. Next February, the dates are February 6th to the 13th. We're going on the Disney Fantasy. It's the Western Caribbean tour, cruise. It leaves from Port Canaveral, Florida. It hits Cozumel, Mexico, Grand Cayman Islands, and Disney's private island, Disney's Castaway Cay. And the significant part of this cruise is that this will be one of the first cruises where they're actually going to have a day solely dedicated to Star Wars.
Yes.
So even though it's like entitled Star Wars Cruise, the whole, 7 days isn't Star Wars, but there is one main day where there will be Star Wars characters out, there will be signings, character meet and greets, the theater there will be showing all the Star Wars films.
Now, as of right now, they're going to be showing, they say, the 6 films, the prequels and the original trilogy. I don't know if they're going to throw in the Force Awakens, which will have opened already for 3 months. No, two months. Yeah, 2 months.
However, when we had gone on our cruise,
Winter Soldier
was out in theaters and it was on the cruise.
Yeah.
So
it's a common thing for them to have.
So I
don't know if they're just kind of holding it back and they're going to say, hey, you know what? We are going to have some special screenings of The Force Awakens. Or that will just be the normal film that's playing during the other days.
That may be.
Actually,
it might really just be like that. Or they might do it like maybe at midnight or something. I don't know.
I think
they're also doing Disney XD Star Wars stuff, like the TV shows, the Rebels.
Rebels.
I believe they're also showing that that day also. And of course, there'll be special fireworks on deck at night, after a special deck party.
So this pretty much takes over the pirate night. But it becomes a whole day event.
I don't know if it takes over it.
I believe it does.
Yeah? Okay. I didn't know. Because it's a longer cruise than the one we had gone on, I didn't know if they were going to have the 2 nights, one being the pirate party and one being this new Star Wars thing.
On the itinerary, I didn't see anything like that.
Okay. I haven't checked. Okay.
That would be a lot. That would also be twice fireworks. I really doubt that would happen.
I'm not sure.
That would be great, though.
It would be fabulous. The other part of this cruise, just to do a little plug, we're going with this other podcast run by Lou Mangiello. It's his WDW Radio. It's actually their 9th anniversary during that time. So we're members of that group.
We're traveling with them.
Yeah, so we're going to get to enjoy some stuff that Lou has planned that is just special for his WDW Radio group.
Okay, let me just clarify. Nothing's been announced.
No.
Nothing is official, but in asking him, how we could word this, there's always something that will be exclusive to the WDW travel group. So we don't know what it would be or what it's going to entail, but in the past, those events have been pretty impressive.
Didn't he have Jodie Benson? He had the author...
Ridley Pearson,
and then he had the Sherman brother. Didn't he have one of the Sherman brothers?
Yes, he did. That's what I was trying to think of.
Yeah, that's what I thought at first. Forgetting. That.
Yeah, so he's got some
He's got some pull. So if you guys are interested, head on over to Mouse Fan Travel or WDW Radio. I will have links to both of those pages in the show notes when I post this up. And you can go over there, ask for a free quote, and get yourself on that cruise. It should be a lot of fun. Cozumel in particular looks really great.
Yeah, the excursions we've already looked fabulous.
There are a ton of excursions.
There were a ton. And I think we already pretty much picked out which ones we're going to do in each one.
Yeah, we did. We didn't write it down, though, which was stupid.
Well, Cozumel, we're going to tour the pyramids. There's two different pyramid tours on that one, but we're going to do one of the pyramid ruin tours. It's a lengthy one, I remember, because you have to take like an hour and a half bus ride to the actual site. Okay. But it includes lunch and, you know, the transportation with the bus is all included with the, you know, excursion fee. I think in Grand Cayman, we're going to do the submersible.
Yes. Boat.
Yeah. That semi-boat. Yeah, it's more than just the glass bottom boat. You actually submerge and then have the glass, you know, that you can see out into the water with, which I think will be really cool.
Yes, unless it cracks and then we all drown.
That
won't be fun. That'll be bad. I think it's very shallow anyway, so I can push off other people and keep myself alive. But all that matters is the Star Wars cruise. Okay, get the important stuff out there. So I'll post all the info on the page for you guys, and we'd love to have you join us. There are still spots available. And the longer you wait, the more the price goes up. So get on it as soon as you can. Brian, do you want to talk about the Food and Wine Fest, which should just become the norm?
It should just be there.
Really? I mean, at what point? Do you think that's ever going to happen?
For the most part, I mean, they kind of are there now because when does it start? In September and runs through November?
March through May is the... Garden, flower garden.
Which has food and wine.
And I don't think they would do it in the summer because it's crowded enough as it is.
True.
That's true, honestly. It's kind of year-round now because of the way they've expanded the flower and garden festival stuff, I think.
That's a good point. Yeah,
I think that's helpful.
And then they don't want it around Christmas time because they have all their Christmas...
Yeah, the candlelight stuff.
Yeah, they already have a lot going on. Yeah, they have a lot going on.
Okay. So I kind of feel like they've almost kind of put it... Any dead season that they've had, they've kind of put
but
it
Epcot's
in
But Epcot's not really Epcot anymore because Maelstrom isn't there.
Oh, shut up.
I know.
Oh, my God.
Not a bit.
I had someone today try to get me to sign a petition for Disney Quest.
Oh, man.
Come on. Come on, guys.
Number one,
no one listens to petitions. Oh, God almighty. They don't do anything because they don't require any effort. Number one, that's one of the big things that these companies take into effect. It's like, oh, all you did was click a button. I'm not going to worry about this.
Yeah.
Anyways, it's gone.
Well, at least it's a petition for something that's going away. Not like the other petition that was going around for something that hasn't even been announced to be closed yet.
That's a good point, yeah. That's a good point. At least this one is
actually going away.
Yeah.
All right, so back to Food and Wine.
Food and Wine.
For the first time, the Food and Wine Fest is going to expand into Future World. It's going to have four new food and beverage marketplaces. It looks like the first one's going to be the Artistry of Wine and Cheese area. Which is going to feature a cheese studio. Ooh, offering cheese samplers served on an artist palette to pair with wines. That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, you know what's kind of interesting? This booth, the artisanal cheese booth, used to be in the Trading Post.
Yeah, over back there.
And I was just talking with somebody recently, and we were talking about Epcot and whatnot and all the changes that are going to be coming there. Because there are going to be coming there. And I said... They were saying, oh, I wish that we would have gotten a new pavilion announced instead of Frozen, which I don't think the two are mutually exclusive. But I said, you're probably going to get a new pavilion. And then I wrote, you know, starts leering over at Trading Post.
Yeah.
Because the Trading Post is the most obvious spot to knock down and put in an actual pavilion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, do they need to have a country's backing in order to do that now?
Well, I mean, they don't really have one for Norway. I mean, I'm sure that they want that because I'm sure they need that for sponsorship dollars to get the place initially up and running.
Right.
I don't think they'll have problems doing that. I know that saying the word will make a lot of people who visit WDW World Disney World kind of cringe a little bit. But Brazil would really fit. Something tells me that there's a... decent amount of people from Brazil who visit the parks.
Yeah.
That would, you know...
They don't have anything like South America. They have Mexico,
they don't.
And that's
but
it.
But remember, they had the Brazil booth.
Yes.
Which was a big hit. Yeah. And then what was the other one for Flower and Garden? Right as you were about to enter you know, the international, not the international gateway, but as you're about to go left to go to, go right to go to Canada, it was on the right-hand side. It had very dry plantains. Remember, I didn't dig them? What was that back there?
I think that was Puerto Rico.
Was it? Yes, no, that's what it was. It was, yeah, Puerto Rico also.
Because it was a new one for last year when we had gone.
That's right.
And I wanted to try it because it sounded interesting because I like that type of food.
Yeah. I wouldn't, I would think, I don't know, what would be your number one picks if you had to get a new pavilion? It would be Brazil. Brazil seems obvious, really.
Yeah.
Australia.
Greece.
Greece would look, that would also look, yeah, really nice.
That would be beautiful. Yeah.
And it would be cheap because they have no economy. Yeah. So it would be helpful. I wish you could pull off Africa, but you really can't. Morocco's the best you're going to get, and I like Morocco a ton.
Yeah, well, you can't also do Africa because that's a continent, not a country. I know. It's like, unless you did like South Africa, maybe.
That was the
but
big,
I don't know if
the big
have...
problem that they couldn't get, yeah, Africa worked out because it was like, we're going to have Africa. It's like, what part? Because they're all fighting each other. Yeah. You know, like, how are you going to figure this out? And that's when the king of Morocco basically put his money on the table and said, nope. How about just Morocco?
Yeah. I would love,
would you?
But I know this kind of also goes into the Morocco area, but I would love if they actually did like an India one and had like Taj Mahal. Like, but I know that
it'd
wouldn't
be, great,
be
but
as popular
as
Brazil.
That's not going to work for tourists.
No,
it's
I know.
Not going to work.
That's,
you
know,
why. Visually, Egypt might be nice.
Egypt, yeah, would really, that would be phenomenal.
Do a, you know, Sphinx and then like the pyramids in the background.
Remember Russia was one of the countries,
yeah,
initially?
Yeah.
Israel was
that
a country?
Be, yeah.
Russia would be cool, but I don't know cool, if we'd ever
I don't
do
know
that.
How that would go nowadays with the, yeah, with the geopolitic of it, really. I kind of feel that people...
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know if that would work too well. So, all right, so we... Okay, so now they're coming into the future world, but... They already sort of announced this, I want to say last week when the Chew,
mm-hmm,
they announced that, yep, Chew was going to be there, and, yep, they said then, which I want to say was about a week and a half ago, mm-hmm, that they were going to be putting some food stands
into
Future World.
Yeah.
So,
which is one of the other ones they're going to be expanding into there, too, is going to be the Chew one, and then there's going to be, what are some of the other ones?
There's the Nitro Chocolate Almond Truffle with Warm Whiskey Caramel.
Yep, mm-hmm.
I don't know what that is. That just caught my attention because it's chocolate and whiskey.
Yeah.
Oh, but that's going to be at the Chew Lab.
That's going to be at the Chew Lab. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
And that will be located, does it say over here?
It is going to be located next to the, near the character spot, Epcot character spot.
Okay, great, great.
So, yeah, there's supposedly four new venues that are going to be, four new marketplace areas. Eventually, I think it's going to take over almost the entire park.
That's fine, but then, you know what? Yeah, give us something in...
Inventions?
Yeah. I know they're making it into, like, a rest area.
Yeah,
which
well, did
it,
you,
it kind of is now.
Did you hear, did you see... I just read this before we started doing the show, that they put up rest spots for the summer in Hollywood Studios and in Epcot.
Really?
Yeah. We were talking about the captain, the Jack Sparrow. Area, they've turned that into a rest area.
Oh, really? It's like a mini lounge?
Yeah, it's like a mini lounge. And,
oh,
yeah, that's
okay,
the one I was
right.
in for, lounge. And then there's, Epcot, I believe it's over by the Epcot meet and greet, the character spot.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And that restaurant over there, I think it's right okay. over there, they put one up too.
Very good. It's so hot.
I know, God. It's so hot there.
So hot!
Yeah.
So damn hot.
I'm glad you're not going in the summer. That was the first smart move you made.
Well, I've been there in the summer, and I never want to do that again unless I have to.
Yeah,
that sounds like not... I don't know. I don't know how people do... Well, I mean, I know people have to because that's when they can travel, you know, just due to kids and jobs and whatnot, but... Woof!
Yeah.
Thank goodness I don't have to worry about that. Something I thought was really interesting and rather big is the Invictus Games are coming to Walt Disney World in 2016. This was actually announced by Prince Harry.
I think he started it.
He did, yes. Just a couple of years ago was, yeah, the first one was in 2014. It drew more than 400 athletes from 13 countries plus 65,000 spectators in the inaugural year in London in 2014. This is going to happen now. The next one is going to happen between May 8th and 12th in 2016. A variety of sports are going to go down at the ESPN Wide World of Sports Complex. And it's going to be busy.
Yeah.
So, I don't... I mean, this is going to be a huge event.
I'm... I've never been to the Wide World of Sports. I don't know how big it is, but there is a lot going on. Like, there's archery and cycling, indoor rowing, sitting volleyball, swimming, track and field, a triathlon. You have wheelchair basketball, wheelchair rugby, and wheelchair tennis. That's a lot of events for, what, 4 or 5 days? That's a big thing.
That's going to be a lot of people moving around, a big event.
Now, where, because I've never been there. I've never actually gone there, but that's where the Braves have spring training, I believe.
Yes. Yeah, it is.
So, but that's like a whole complex, but that's not right. That's not, is that on Disney property?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, no, it is. It is on Disney property. There's always rumors that it will go away for newer hotels. But if this is going to become a thing, I don't think it's going to go anywhere now.
Yeah, well, definitely.
Also, with them putting more of an, you know, now that you think of it, Disney is building NBA experience. Like, so maybe they're trying to bring a little, I really do think they're trying to attract more of a, I mean, granted, this is an all-ages thing, an all-interest thing, but the idea of bringing more sport interest into Disney World might be more of their effort to attract males.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, in a very princess-heavy setting, trying to get that other vote. And, you know, obviously Star Wars Land, when it's announced, that will be a huge thing for that. So yeah, I mean, this is just straight off the wiki page, so what I'm about to read here, but this is basically what the Invictus Games is. An international Paralympic-style multi-sport event in which wounded, injured, or sick armed services personnel and their associated veterans take place in sports, including many options. I don't know which ones they're going to do specifically there, so I don't want to say
the ones I listed were the ones that were officially
announced.
Yeah, the
ones you listed were the ones that were announced on the Disney Parks blog. Mm-hmm. So I think it would be a great event. If you're a little weary of heavy crowds, maybe that wouldn't be the best time to visit next May 8th to the 12th. That's also got to be on the heels of Star Wars Weekend.
It sounds like it's the right before, because usually Star Wars Weekend starts mid-May, like the 15th or 16th was the first day of this last year.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Because we were there the first
Yeah, we
weekend.
Were there, yeah. And we got down there on the 13th, that Wednesday.
So May is turning into a very, very busy month.
Yeah, it looks like it ends on a Thursday, and then that 14th and the 15th is a weekend, so it's probably when.
Yeah, that might be right before Star Wars.
All right, so that's all the little news that we're going to cover this week, because we really want to go into helping out our buddy Don over here. So, Don, how you doing?
Doing all right.
Good.
A little overwhelmed with all this planning. And
all right, well, start us from the top. What do you have? What's it all about?
Well, I'm just trying to find out, you know, good strategies. Obviously, cost savings is a big deal, especially the time of year that I'm going, which is school vacation week. So everything's hiked up at a ridiculous rate. So, but you know, when I was starting to plan this, I swear, when I looked at the webpage, everything went blurry because there was just so much information, so much to think about. So I had to sit there and break down things that I wanted to attack. And I guess the first thing I want to ask you guys to see what your recommendations are is just booking the whole thing. Do you go through a travel agent? Do you go through a Disney travel planner? Do you, you know, do your own thing and then go to Orbitz and book your flights through there?
I would suggest, unless you want to do it all on your own, but you can even, you know, you can, like, break down every little bit of the trip of what you want to do, maybe a travel agent is the best way to go.
Okay.
Because they're going to keep up to date on discounts. You know, if something comes up, they're going to get your rate changed. You're not going to have to call Disney and wait online and go through all the stuff. They're going to take all care of all that for you. But I've also noticed, as well as that is plane tickets, I think is something I like. Even when I used to go through and, you know, rent a room through Disney and whatnot, plane tickets is always the thing I would look up on my own, because I feel like I would always find the cheaper price.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah,
that is
like,
something that we've noticed.
Little things like just from looking on a Wednesday to a Saturday, it could be the same week, and Saturday the prices go up, and then you look the next Wednesday and they're back down. So it's just, you know, that little stuff. I'm not sure how much the travel agents do you know, like yeah. in terms of that. And it could be, you know, depending on how many plane tickets, and you're going to be looking at what, four, three?
Yeah, at least three. Maybe.
Do they charge for a 2-year old?
No, they shouldn't. I don't think. I believe you can take them as a lap.
Yeah, we can do that. Or when we went down to Disney a couple of years ago with Riley when she was one,
mm-hmm.
you know, we had a seat bought and we were able to put the car seat in there, rest her in there. And,
yeah, that's the if you want to put her in a seat, you have to buy a seat. Yeah. But if you're willing to put them on your lap,
yeah,
you don't have to get a ticket.
We'll figure that out. I mean, Peyton will be two and she wants to run around the place, so
yeah,
that'll be something that we'll have to figure out.
Yeah, yeah.
So where were you looking? Like, if you had to pick a price range, what were you looking hotel wise?
Right now, I mean, selfishly, I would love to go to one of the really nice ones, you know, Animal Kingdom and whatnot. But, you know, for our intents and purposes, you know, the girls, I don't think would necessarily appreciate that. So I was actually looking at the Arts of Animation resort, and I just think it would be super fun for them to be in a Disney-themed room, like over the top. So we're not looking to spend a whole lot on the room itself. Maybe in the future when we go, and they're bigger and they can appreciate a nice place, then we'll do that. But, you know, if I threw the girls in a room that was all Little Mermaid decorated, that would be just fine with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Art of Animation is the most expensive value one. So it is, like, in that low price section, but it yeah. is the most expensive of them. That's a weird way of saying mm-hmm. it. But it is also nice because that's one of the few value ones that has suites, so you could get something where you have like separate bedrooms for the yeah. girls and, you know, you and Carrie. I've only heard good things about that place, so I would say that that's a nice way to go, especially for price.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, right now, if I'm looking at the prices for February, President's Weekend and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, the Little Mermaid standard room at the Art of Animation is going to cost you between $184 and $213 a night.
Yeah.
So it's on the higher side of the values, but if you measure the quality of those rooms versus the other values, it's much, much nicer.
Okay. Well,
so if you're looking to go, you know, for a value resort, which I agree with you, I don't think at this time putting money into Animal Kingdom is really the best way to spend your money. Because your kids are also at the age where they're going to eat whatever. You know, they're going to eat off the kids' menu. So you and Carrie, you and your wife, can probably get away with going to some nicer restaurants
mm-hmm.
just because they're going to eat off the kids' menu, which they have everywhere. And then you can enjoy maybe a better meal
yeah.
while not paying through the nose for a hotel room. Which, at the end of the day, how much time are you going to really spend in the hotel room?
Well, that's the other thing that we're talking about.
With the kids, I'm assuming they're going to be taking naps. So, I mean, that would be, yes. like, the only thing. But, like, other than that, I don't think you're going to be worried.
Well, the only other thing I could see is if you think you're going to spend more time in the resort, you might want a nicer resort place because the pool area is going to be nicer
mm-hmm.
and things like that. Like, if you, if those are things you're going to be looking into. That's, yeah. But that's all dependent on where you're going to...
I would still say, though, the Art of Animation is the right place.
Oh, I think so. Yeah. No, I agree, too. Yeah. I would say the Art of Animation.
Right there. I think that's a nice...
The value and a more Disney, a Disney-fied experience. You
yeah,
know?
I mean, I was thinking about having a rest day, and when I was looking at the amenities that the Art of Animation offered,
yeah.
you know, they have that, I think, the biggest pool of all the Disney resorts there.
Yeah, and one of their pools, I think it's the Nemo pool, has music underwater. So,
oh, wow.
It's the only one that has that.
That's very
so
cool.
If you go there, you have to try it out, let me know, because I do want to eventually hear yeah. the music underwater. I think that would be the coolest.
You just go there and jump in the water.
There's no pool hopping.
You can literally just, I'll throw you in the pool. You won't hop in it, you'll just fall into it.
So, but I'm really excited about that. That's the one resort that I'm just really gunning for. You know, like you said, it's a more of a value price, but it seems like it'd be super fun for the kids.
I think you're on the right track on that one. I would stick with that for now. When they get older, and if you want a little more to the room itself, maybe you're able to go at a time where it isn't the busiest time, you know, one of the mm-hmm. peak times of year over at Disney. Then you swing over to at least a moderate.
Yeah.
You know, when you check out the moderates, because the moderates are gorgeous. Mm-hmm. It's really, you know, jumps. It feels like some of them jump. But Art of Animation, in my opinion, is at a happy medium.
Okay,
between
good.
Value and moderate, where it's very family-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have a lot to go on. Melissa, what's up?
I'm actually just looking on the Disney website, and it's actually interesting because I put in, I don't know exactly your dates, I put in just the 15th to the 19th, and Port Orleans French Quarter is actually cheaper than the Art of Animation.
Is it really?
Yeah. And Port Orleans is a moderate resort, and that's where our guests stayed for the wedding, and the people from, you know, whether it's the guests from the wedding or just other people in general, have raved about Port Orleans French Quarter.
My only other, before you pick a resort, I have one other question. Are you renting a car or are you taking buses? Have you thought about that yet? Because that makes a big difference.
I wasn't planning on renting.
Okay, so you're going to take Disney transportation.
Yeah.
I would not suggest probably French Quarter or something. Then I would suggest to stick with the Art of Animation.
Why not?
Because they have a dedicated bus. Those other ones share buses.
The French Quarter shares with
Riverside.
Okay, well, it's all Port Orleans.
Yeah,
but with Port Orleans, there's also the water taxi.
There's the water taxi.
So you can get to, what is that, Epcot, Hollywood, by water taxi, or just Epcot?
I think you can get to both. I think you can get to both. I've never taken the water taxi, but I think you can get to both from there.
No, it's good that you guys mentioned that one, because that was actually the second one I was looking at.
Yeah, no, I mean, you'd have to double check, but I think they only share it with Port Orleans.
Okay.
And Art of Animation, all the different values, like the value resorts, the all-star ones, they all share a bus. Pop Century and Art of Animation, they share a bus, but they're literally next to each other, and there's one bus stop.
Okay.
Okay, I'm not positive if Riverside and French Quarter are the only ones, or if there's another hotel that they also share with. That I'm not positive on.
Gotcha.
But I would look into that. That would be the other thing I would really look into is the bus service.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like for instance, for Port Orleans, there's the water taxi to downtown, they're saying Old Key West and Saratoga Springs, but those are hotels, so you don't need to go there. But it's definitely, you can get over to Downtown Disney, which at that point probably still would want some type of water or bus service. Because
why are you saying, because you don't want to drive there
to downtown? Yeah, because they're still under construction heavily and stuff.
They are on the marketplace side. They are. If you're okay with parking in the garage and just walking over, I don't really think it's that big of a deal.
Yeah,
they seem to be moving pretty well on that. Towards renting the car, this is just my own personal preference. If you could save some money staying at Riverfront or Port Orleans, I'm sorry, I would then maybe take that difference and rent a car.
Okay.
Because we rent a car through Priceline. We do the name your own price. I normally get the car 5 to 6 days a week for about $140.
That's really good.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's all it is. You have to bid, and you start from like $15 and just slowly creep your way up, and then you'll probably get what you need. That's how we've done it. It to me, it makes the day a lot easier at the end of the day.
Okay.
Knowing that I don't have to wait for a bus, I don't have to, especially if you're going to be at a park till the end of the day when everyone else is leaving, I like to be able to just jump in my car and leave.
Okay.
It's just a ease thing for me, and only because I've been able to get the price as cheap as I've been able to get it for, you know, over a decade now. Like, that's normally what I pay, is $140 for 5 or 6 days.
Okay.
So that is something that I would suggest. But Brian, you traveled with a kid, and I know it's a different story.
And I would suggest differently, traveling with a kid. Only reason, especially in Magic Kingdom, is 10,000 times easier to get on the bus when you leave the Magic Kingdom. You might have to wait,
but
you come right out of the Magic Kingdom and the buses are there. Otherwise, you got to take the monorail or the ferry over. Then you got to take a shuttle bus to your cars, usually, unless you get there early and you can walk. So, especially for Magic Kingdom with kids, I would probably say the buses would be a better bet. The other ones, it's kind of a wash, because like Epcot, you have to walk quite a distance. Not quite a distance, but a decent distance to the buses. Hollywood Studios, you walk right out and the buses are there. You got to walk past them for the parking lot. Just in terms of going with a child, I find it easier using the buses.
All right, there you go.
Yeah.
And I just was looking. The difference is, if you stay at Art of Animation, They have one bus stop at Art of Animation and one bus stop at Pop Century, because I stay there. So it'll stop at Pop Century, go to Art of Animation, and then go to the parks. French Quarters and Riverside share a bus line.
Oh, okay.
French Quarter has one pickup. Riverside has four pickups.
Oh, okay.
So that's adding another 20 to 30 minutes probably to your bus ride, because it's got to stop at four separate places. So that's just something you got to think about with the buses also.
Okay.
But like I said, going with a kid, I recommend the buses, because I just find it, especially at night, easier to get screaming, you know, not the kids screaming, but like just they're tired. The kids are tired and exhausted, you know, especially Magic Kingdom. You can just get them, roll them right onto the bus, scoop them up, get on there.
Yeah, I mean, I just want easy at that point of the day.
So. Yeah, that's the thing. It's a pain sometimes, you got to wait, but you're waiting and standing there as opposed to, you know, shuffling the kids in and out of things.
Yeah. The good thing, though, with the waiting, we had taken a bus this past May when we were doing it, and they have the screens at the hotels to tell you when the buses are coming. You know, they'll give you, like, an estimated time for each different bus to each different, you know, park.
And it was accurate.
And it was very accurate.
Yeah, it was accurate.
I'm not sure. Are those at the parks yet, the time things?
Yeah, they were there. I believe so, yeah.
I didn't remember to look, so I don't know.
Those were right on time, and it made it a little easier because we had a bad run for a couple of years in a row where it seemingly we just missed the bus. So we would be standing there for 20 minutes waiting for another bus, when in that time I would have already been at my hotel room.
Yeah.
Depending on where you stay.
Yeah.
This is the one thing that we differ on.
Yes.
Like, I don't mind the buses. And I know Pete doesn't like
them. I like having the car as an easier option.
Yeah, and I'll admit, if you're going as adults,
yeah,
or even with older kids, it's definitely probably an easier option.
Yeah, so this is why Brian's on the show. Yep. There you go.
But for younger kids, definitely I would suggest.
So I would earmark. We all agree, earmark Animation.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Earmark Perfect. Animation.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I guess the other thing that I wanted to go over and ask you guys is dining strategies. It seems like doing the dining plan.
Swallow.
Well, thank you.
Very good, very good. Okay.
Hit him.
But it seems like the dining plan is obviously much more convenient, easy to deal with. But when you take a look at the different types of plans that they have, you know, I pulled up the PDF for the 2016 dining options, and I was looking at it. And with the girls, we obviously want to go to Cinderella's Castle and have lunch, breakfast, or dinner there. We want to do the Be Our Guest. Riley loves Lilo and Stitch. So we're going to try to go to Ohana and do the character breakfast there. So each one of those, if I read it correctly, the meal plans act like a point system. Certain meals cost a certain amount of, I guess certain places cost a certain amount of meals. Mm-hmm. And depending on the dining plan you have,
you have X amount left.
Yes, yep. You can either like burn up two meals or one meal depending on your dining plan. So for anybody, which plan do you suggest that we roll with?
For the ease of use, I would say that the standard dining plan is going to be where you want to go. If you do the hard math and you figure out exactly what you're going to order at every restaurant, you do the numbers, you may be paying a little more for the meal plan, but for the ability to just say, we're on the meal plan.
Yeah.
Is nice. It might be worth that little extra money that you have to bounce in. It depends, again, what you're looking budget-wise and what you eat. You know, if you're going to a two-star restaurant and you as an adult are ordering a $15 plate,
mm-hmm.
you're doing it wrong.
Okay.
You know, you have to eat what you want to eat, but also keep in mind that, okay, well, this is how much I paid, so let me make sure I get my money's worth out of this as well.
Always get the lobster.
Always.
Always.
So,
even at Cinderella's Castle breakfast.
Brian, though, let's go to you again. Now, you with Kyle and the meal plan, have you experienced that with him yet?
No, we haven't actually done the meal plan with him yet. This will be the first time when we go in December that I'll be using the meal plan. I've done the meal plan myself when I've gone solo without him. But I think...
So did you just pay per meal for Kyle?
Yeah, well, the last time we went, we had something called a Tables in Wonderland card.
Gotcha.
So it's a different set of circumstances. You know, it's a discount on all the table service meals and stuff like that. But I would suggest if you're... I'm a proponent of the meal plan. I like it. Just for even, like Pete said, ease of... ease of use. One thing, your meals are prepaid, so you don't have to worry about that. You just have to worry about tips. And it's just, I find it more convenient. As I'm getting older, I want convenience. I like it, you know?
Yeah.
And if you think your kids, if you think you and Carrie and the kids are going to eat table service meals every day, at least one table service meal a day, I would definitely, definitely
and
do
what
it.
You can do is, like you said, you want to go to Cinderella's Castle. Okay, well, Cinderella's Castle is two dining points. It's two table services per person.
Yes.
That just means that on your other day, on one other day, instead of going to a sit-down restaurant, you go to a quick serve.
Okay.
You know, you can do something like that. God
knows. Yeah, because the way the dining plan works is at check-in, you get all your meals, all your table services, all your quick services, and all your snacks. And basically, as you use them, the points, like, deduct. So you don't have to worry about, oh, today I only have this available. You can use it however much. You know, we've always gotten stuck with, like, five or six snacks at the end of our time when we do the signature one.
When we, yeah, when we've done the signature one, which gives you more per day, instead of your normal dining plan, it's a table service, a quick service, and a snack. That's fine, usually, for us. I mean, that's what we used for many, many years. But then we started getting addicted to the two-point restaurants.
Yeah.
And the signature thing gave you, what was it, three?
Yeah, three services.
Three table services a day. So basically, we would have a table service for breakfast, and then we would have a two-point dinner. We would usually skip lunch, because you also would get two snacks a day. But during the course of a day and you're moving around, we would just not remember to use the snacks, or we shared a bottle of water, so we didn't use 2 points then. And then by the end of the trip, we've got, you know, six cookies that we just picked up because we're like, we got to use these. So, we would always stop at the bakery on Main Street and just hoist a bunch of cookies into the backpack. And that would be, you know, the way that we finish it up. But I would say you want to do that. Also, the dining plan went through a really, really nice upgrade that's going to be kicking in beginning May 31st. So it's actually in effect.
Yeah, this is what I was going to bring up, because especially with the kids, if you find like they're not eating, you know, the quick serves or something, you know, they just don't want that. There's a lot of interchangeable things that they've done now where you can switch out certain things for snacks, and they've made a lot more things snacks. Like now a box of cereal, like a little box of cereal and milk counts as a snack.
Okay.
You know, so you could feed them breakfast like that and not have to worry about, oh, I just spent a meal point, you know. Then you could still go and have a quick serve, which, are you familiar with quick serve, table serve?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, quick serve sounds like your countertop type.
Yeah, it's like cafeteria styles.
Yeah, so you're basically taking the food to the table instead of somebody bringing it to you. And so you could use, like, the snack, and then you could still have a quick serve for lunch, and then I'd sit down at a table service for dinner or something like that.
The change, they add a little bit of flexibility to this. Let's say you didn't use one of your quick serve meals for whatever reason. You can actually change that out for three snacks.
Okay.
So let's say, you know, you go to lunch. One of the kids is ultra fussy. They're not hungry. They're not going to eat anything. You don't have to worry like, oh, now we're going to have an extra, you know, an extra meal that we haven't used. You can actually turn that into three snacks, which maybe that kid, through the course of the day, will be hungry for three smaller things. You know, I'm not sure how your child eats. And now with the table service meals, it always used to be entree, drink, dessert. You had to get those. Well, now if you don't want dessert, you can actually change that out for a salad, a soup, or a fruit plate.
Okay.
So again, it gives you a little more flexibility. You know, if you don't want to rev your children up on sugar after every meal, you know, you can give them little healthier options. And, you know, the soups in these places are really good sometimes. I mean, you're going in February, so it's going to be fair weather. You know, you might even get one day where it's quote unquote chilly. I mean, I don't know if we would think it was chilly because, you know, we're from New York. Well, Melissa,
I thought it was chilly. So from a girl's perspective, it was cold. I wore sweatshirts.
That's ridiculous.
So he's traveling with females. I'm letting him know. Yes.
So I would say for ease of use, the dining plan is the way to go.
Yeah.
With that, though, you're going to want to make all of your dining reservations for your table services, especially something like Cinderella's Castle.
Yeah.
That place books up.
And be our guest.
and be our guest if you want to do be our guest.
And that's like and, another thing I wanted to get to, but we'll get to that in a minute.
Okay.
No, I was going to say, and that's somewhere else where if you're not really comfortable doing it, because it's not always the easiest thing in the world to do, to book the dining like online and stuff, it can be fussy, is a travel agent would be helpful for that, because even if there's something, they might be able to get you in.
So you can do those reservations through the travel agent.
You can do the whole shebang through the travel agent. You can do bits and pieces through the travel agent. Okay. You tell them, I want you to do, can you get me price for room? You know, just say rooms, tickets, and can you do my dining reservations?
Okay.
And they will, they'll do that stuff for you.
I know the one thing I'm looking at is that I definitely want to do, because I listened to your foodie mashup podcast, and I want to hit like a lot of those restaurants you were talking about, like Gico, and was it Crown and
Rose and
Crown? Rose and Crown.
Rose and Crown.
I know some of those are two meal restaurants based on the plan that you get.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting here thinking, I'm trying to figure out, do I do the basic? Do I do the deluxe where it costs me two, or do I go premium where it costs me one? And I guess the other question I wanted, with like the premium I was reading, you get like three table service meals. Okay. Is that strictly table service, or could I go to quick serve?
I believe you can always downgrade. You can't upgrade. You can use a table service meal at a quick service, but you can't use a quick service at a table service.
Okay. And I'm assuming because they want you to go to the restaurants and stuff, they're not going to allow you to bring sandwiches and things into the park.
Yes, you can. You do not have to spend a dime of money on food at Disney World.
Oh, wow.
You can bring in sandwiches, drinks. You can bring in anything.
Okay.
Yeah.
They don't stop it.
I would definitely say I think the premium is a lot.
Okay.
That's a lot of eating, because that's a lunch. That's a breakfast, lunch, dinner, and two snacks per person per night.
Okay.
That is a lot of food. Especially because it's Disney and your portions are generally going to be very large. So if you wanted to look into the 2-point restaurants, again, dependent upon your budget, the signature might be something you want to look at. And you know what? I keep saying signature. When I say signature, I mean it towards
the deluxe.
Yeah. I just always think of it as signature because we always go to signature restaurants. So I wouldn't worry about the premium one. The premium one's going to be, it's going to be a lot more money for a lot of food that I don't think you're going to get your value out of with kids.
Sounds good to me.
I would say you're going to go for your basic.
I think the basic, because also, like, you want to go to Cinderella's. Cinderella's you have to pay for in advance. Even if you're using the dining plan, you have to pay for it up front. Some of the ways that we've worked it is we've just paid for it and then used our signature, our table services in other places. You know?
Because by the time the trip came up, the reason that they make you pay is because they had a slew of people who would make reservations, never show up, and it's a very small restaurant. Mm-hmm. So now they have the implementation that you have to pay for that in advance. Now, if you show up and you still wanted to use your dining points, you just get refunded that money back onto the method of which you paid it, basically. But we've noticed a couple of times, by the time the trip comes up, it's like, oh, well, we already paid that, and that money is kind of gone. So forget it. We'll just have the extra points, and we'll go somewhere else.
Okay.
You know, we'll go to another 2-point dinner and actually use those instead of putting them towards Cinderella's castle.
So you can pay into other breakfasts instead of using the dining points too.
Yeah.
As well. Okay.
Because also, in my opinion, I don't think Cinderella is worth 2 dining points. It's a great experience and the food is good and your kids are going to love it because they're going to see the princesses and stuff. And it's a beautiful location, beautiful views. It's a great experience. It's not worth 2 dining points for me. I don't think so.
Yeah, like the food's good, but it's not Gico.
Also because it's a fixed price.
Okay.
You know, you can go to Gico and get a $50 plate of food. That's not even including your dessert and your drink.
Okay.
So value-wise, you can get a lot more bang for those points going to a place like Gico, Flying Fish, Narcoosi, you know, places like that. For Rose and Crown, something you brought up earlier, that's a 1-point place, and it's phenomenal. It's one of my favorite restaurants on property.
Yeah, I heard you guys rave about that on your foodie episode.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the places I would absolutely say you should check out, and that's just a single point. So I think for your first time messing with the dining plan, go with the basic. Is that the word? Is that the right wording? The basic?
I think it's the... I think it's just the the basic or the regular.
No, not the quick serve.
There's three levels. There's the quick serve, and then I think it's just called the dining plan or the basic dining plan, and then the deluxe.
Okay.
The quick service is just the quick service meals, which you're not going to want. You know, that's you're commandoing the park and you don't really, you know, all you want to eat is burgers and pizza.
Okay.
But
don't do that.
You don't want to
do
that.
I'm going to Disney. I
want
to experience some of the restaurants.
There's some quick service, those that are more than burgers, and they're really, really good.
There's plenty.
But, yeah, you don't want to just limit yourself to that.
If you don't go to the Rose and Crown, check out the quick serve right outside of it for fish and chips, because the fish and chips are good.
Okay. Excellent.
All right. That's a quick service credit.
But go to Rose and Crown.
But go to Rose and Crown. But just in case some reason you don't.
Or... an alternative to Rose and Crown, which also gets you to kind of walk around downtown Disney a bit, and it's really, really nice, Raglan Road. It's loud, though. If you go at night, it's loud. They have live music, and people are a little, you know, they're into it and stuff. But it's not like rough and tumble. It's not like Pee-wee's Playhouse.
No, they have the Irish dancers, though. That's
They have that. They have live music and a similar menu to Rose and Crown. Rose and Crown is still Rose and Crown. And Rose and Crown, if you're going to spend a day at Epcot, it's a really good idea or a fun idea to attempt to make your dining reservations close to when Interventions is going to... Illuminations is going to go off, because you can request a seat outside on the water. Okay. Obviously, it's just a request, you know, dependent upon blah, blah, blah. But if you get there at like 7 o'clock and you just milk your dinner... They'll let you stay, because we've done it.
Yeah.
You know, we get there like 7:30, request a seat by the water, and then you get this almost like reserved seating in a sense for the fireworks show, and it's a phenomenal view from there.
Yeah,
it has a couple of great uses.
That was going to be one of my other questions I was going to ask about. You know, I wanted to take the girls to see Illuminations, because last time I was there, I was blown away by the show that they put on. Is Epcot kid-friendly, really, other than the meet-and-greets? And I know...
Brian, what do you think?
We're going to defer to you now.
Yeah, I'm going to definitely defer to you on this one. Because I've heard different opinions from parents.
Okay. I think it kind of depends on your kids, is the first thing. Kyle loves Epcot. He's always liked Epcot. He's enjoyed it every time we've gone, and he's been going since he's just under 3. So he's always liked it. I think there's more than enough stuff in Epcot to keep a child's interest. I think, especially even around World Showcase, just you know, in Mexico they got the ride, and even just seeing all the different cultural stuff that they have there, it's just the kids love that stuff.
Okay,
you know, and especially if you have like Riley's a part. She seems like she's a smart kid. She's inquisitive and stuff like that. So I think they would really enjoy it. They have the character spots all outside. I mean, Germany's got the giant toy train set area outside that the kids love.
Okay.
Trying to think of some of the other spots, but there's plenty. Even just walking around through the stores, there's more than enough stuff there to occupy kids. In Future World, You know how Epcot's broken up Future World and then the World Showcase? Future World, maybe not so much. There's really not as ton of stuff for the kids to do. You know, the Figment ride and then Spaceship Earth, I guess that's pretty cool the way it goes. But in World Showcase, definitely. I definitely think, you know, if you take your time, walk through it, the kids enjoy it.
Okay, cool.
They do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Now, we touched on, or we mentioned about making the reservations. I've heard people say it's insane. Like, when you have to make a reservation 180 days out, when the clock strikes midnight on the 180th day, you need to be on the horn.
That's hyperbole.
I see that stuff online all the time. I have never run into that problem.
I visit the parks three times a year, usually, me and Melissa go. I'm never there at midnight on my computer. I'm never there. I do it the next day. If you want Be Our Guest, being there at 180 days in advance may not even matter, because other people have been booking their trips and they may have already filled up a place like that. But as far as, you know, just like everyday restaurants and whatnot, Cinderella's Castle, very, very busy.
Yeah.
But I've never had trouble getting it. I mean, I've always got it. I don't wait till 150. I mean, the day that I can do it, I do it.
Yes.
But the idea of staying up till midnight or wondering when exactly the internal clock on the Disney, you know, server changes, I've never had problems with it. And that even extends towards using the FastPass Plus, which we'll talk about, I'm sure, in a bit. I always hear people like, oh, my God, I couldn't book anything. I couldn't book a single ride, and I did it 180 days. Like, then you're just doing something wrong. Mm-hmm. Because we were just there a couple of months ago or whatever, and I was changing everything up until, like, the day that we were in that park. And I was adjusting things.
On that trip, they had, like, recently, just before we were going to go on the trip, announced the Be Our Guest breakfast. So, of course, we wanted to go. It was booked up. So when we tried to get it, couldn't get it. But we just kept checking back, and there was a cancellation, and we were able to get it, and it was no big deal. Well,
and then, do you remember what happened next?
Oh, yeah. Then there was
I had to cancel that. The second one. So we got Be Our Guest breakfast, and it was like, oh, my God. It popped up. I was like, all right, great. Booked it for us. And then a couple of days later, I got an email from DVC that was informing us of a special screening of Tomorrowland. And it was the same morning that we had the Be Our Guest breakfast. So I could care less about Be Our Guest breakfast at that point. I'm going to go to the movie. Melissa really wanted to go to Be Our Guest. I got it for a couple of days earlier.
Yeah,
went on my phone, looked it up. I was like, oh, there's another one. Bloop.
Oh, wow.
So, right. I mean, it comes down to hyperbole a lot of times. I'm sure someone somewhere wasn't able to get what they wanted. But the idea of not being able to book anything and it's, oh my God, 180 days in advance, that's insane.
It is. Okay. And I mean, there are some restaurants that will book up fast. Yeah. I don't know. I have always had, not a hard time, but you have to book Ohana. Like, that's one of those ones. I don't know for the breakfast, but I know for the dinner, that one books up fast.
Yeah.
Like, I booked it for our coming trip in December. And I booked it the day that we had it, and the only available time they had was like 7:30, and then I had it up there, and then I wasn't positive. I didn't put the right number of people or whatever it was, so I just went back quick to do it again, and it was gone. But 9 o'clock was there, so I did the 9 o'clock one.
Okay.
Whatever. Like, if you're flexible, you can find stuff. But like I know Ohana is hard. Whatchamacallit used to be hard. Canada.
Le Cellier.
But I don't know so much anymore because it's 2 points.
It's not
now.
So much anymore. Le Cellier is a steakhouse. The steakhouse in Epcot. Yeah, but it used to be a 1 point meal.
It was the only 1 point steakhouse in all of Disney.
They changed
so
that.
So it became very busy.
Of course, right.
And they got
the thing I think that has helped or that will help is the. You have to put a credit card with all your reservations now. Okay. If you don't cancel in 24 hours, I believe it is. Is it 24 hours?
24 hours, yeah.
If it's 24 hours, they'll charge a card. They'll charge you the meal.
Okay.
So the card, if you don't show up.
I believe it's like $10.
Yeah, it's not they don't charge you for meal, but they charge you, you know, for whatever. So it causes people, I think, to actually cancel reservations now. Because before, people would be like, I don't know what I want. I'm making four reservations for 7 o'clock on.
Well, see, you can't even do that.
No, you can't do that anymore.
You can't do that. You can't do conflicting reservations.
You used to be able to, though, yeah.
I mean, I would definitely do all your stuff in advance, but don't fret over it.
Yeah.
Also, there's so many places to eat. If you don't go to that one restaurant this time,
there's probably another choice that's just as good.
You always have to remember you're going to the busiest place on Earth. That's, you know, that's just a reality check. Yeah. It's not a locals park like Disneyland. It is the busiest tourist location. You just can't go there expecting everything to be available immediately when you want it. That's the thoughts of an insane person.
Gotcha.
So,
or a dad that wants to make sure that their kid's first experience there is mind-blowing.
I'm sure it'll
but
be
that's
perfect
the thing, though.
Either way.
There's so many different things to do that will blow their minds.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, because, let's be honest, your kid will never know what they didn't do.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
They're going to know what they do.
Yeah.
So as long as you make the most of everything that you can do and that you have time to do and that you book yourself, you have a phenomenal trip. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Okay.
That's what it comes down to. You make your trip. The trip doesn't make it for you. You know, I mean, that's just how it is. You could go there and it might rain every damn day. Throw on a slicker and have some fun.
That's some of my favorite days when it rains.
Yeah. Well, my God, when it rains, it's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Because everyone gets scared off. Even if it rains for 4 hours or... which doesn't usually happen, then no one's there. You know, like, yeah. It's
then you can run
phenomenal.
Around and do multiple rides.
So, okay, I'm sorry. So, yeah, don't worry about doing the dining. I mean, do them in advance, but don't worry about it.
Okay.
You know, the only one that I would definitely say you really have to would be if you wanted to do the castle. Make sure you try and do that.
The castle is one of the exceptions. You know, there's always an exception.
Yes. Yeah. But otherwise, yeah, if you do it the next day, like, even... I'm always changing reservations, too. Like, pizza, yeah. I'm constantly changing stuff.
Okay.
Adjusting time.
Because we don't... I mean, 6 months in advance is a long time to know everything that you're going to want to do. Especially, you know, what park are we going to go into, blah, blah, blah. What you do is you get yourself a setup, and you're like, okay, well, this is the basic idea of what we're going to do. And we'll move it along as we did. And we usually go with 4 or 5 people. We went a year and a half ago with 8 people, was with a six.
Six, yeah, it was 6 of us.
I was changing dinner reservations up to 2 weeks before we left. Because we had to tweak some things. Mm-hmm. Never had a problem.
All right. That's good to know. That really is good. Because, like I said, from people I've talked to, that was the story that they were giving me.
Yeah. Well, you know, if someone's trying to get 10 people on a Friday night at 5:30 and that's all they're looking for, then, yeah, maybe they're getting blocked out of everything, you know?
So you touched on the FastPass Plus. So I also had a couple of questions on the FastPass Plus in the Magic Hour.
Okay.
The Magic Hour I wanted to ask about. Now, I know it says select resorts. You get the extra hour before the park opens. When they say select resorts, is that like a...
No, as long as you're on property.
It's all the resorts, all the Disney ones.
Yeah, all the Disney-owned resorts. So I don't believe that the Swan and Dolphin...
I'm not sure.
I'm not even sure if they apply for that, but you're not going to have to worry about that.
Okay. Yeah, because if you stay on property, you're eligible.
You're at the Disney resort. You are eligible for Magic Hours, AM and PM.
Okay. And they change. So each week it's different. Each park is different. So it's not like, you know, oh, you're staying in Caribbean Beach, so you get to go to Magic Kingdom early. It's like, you know, Monday, you know, Magic Hours will be at Hollywood Studios in the morning. And then Tuesday will be Magic Kingdom at night. It varies. But those are all up on the website. Once they announce their park times, mm-hmm. they announce the Magic Hours. So you can make your plans accordingly, like, for that.
Okay, perfect. And I guess that alleviates some of the questions of the Fast Pass because, you know, my girls... I know Riley loves the princesses, you know, and I was planning on doing the meet and greets with, you know, Anna Elsa and her favorite Rapunzel and Cinderella and Ariel from Little Mermaid.
Well,
and I was just wondering if I should use those FastPass Plus, but if they're offered in the Magic Hours, then I could probably save on that.
They're not.
I don't
that's
know
not
the
always
characters
a guarantee
are...
because that really Magic Hours is what can we keep running without having a full staff,
yeah.
You know, like okay. The easiest way of putting it.
In regards to the princesses, if you're going to eat at Cinderella's castle, you get the picture with Cinderella in the beginning, and Ariel is one of the princesses who walks around.
Okay.
So I wouldn't worry about those meet and greets because you're going to see them in the food place. Perfect. Rapunzel used to be in the castle, but she's not anymore. And Anna and Elsa are only in that character meet and greet. If you were going to use a fast pass for any character meet and greet, I would say Anna and Elsa because they're the ones that can get the crazy lines.
And that is one that getting a fast pass may be difficult for.
Yeah. Okay. But that's also like, I don't know. That's what you know, if you guys want to use the fast pass for those meet and greets because that's going to make their thing like the best, then you know, like, okay, I'm just going to have to try for that.
And the fast pass appointments, I guess, when you schedule them, how far out do you have to do that?
Since you're going to be staying on property, you're going to be able to book them 60 days in advance.
Okay.
If you were not, it's only 30 days.
Gotcha.
But you'll be able to book them 60 days in advance. And how it works is you get 3 fast passes per day to book for one park.
So if I were to park hop, could I do 3 fast passes at Magic Kingdom and then, let's say, 3 fast passes at Animal Kingdom if I
no.
went there later?
Well, okay. This is how it would work. Let's say you know you're going to go to Magic Kingdom in the morning, all right? You book your 3 fast passes for whatever time you want in Magic Kingdom for that morning. After those are used up and you park hop over to another park, when you arrive there, you can now book 1 more fast pass.
Okay.
And then when that's used, you get to book another fast pass. So,
gotcha.
Strangely enough, you might hear people saying like, oh, I miss the old fast pass system. That is the old fast pass system. You can only get one after you used one. It's just that now you get 3 right off the bat. So I don't, you know, it works out really well.
Yeah.
It, you don't know what kind of availability will be in a park when you're done using your three. If it's a busy day, there may not be much available yet, Fast Pass wise. If you're looking to get, you know, the Seven Dwarves Mine Train at 5:30, they're probably not going to be any available, just as there wouldn't be any available if it was the old legacy system. You know, it wouldn't be available at that point either. So, yes, you can get more fast passes and you can park hop, but right now it's kind of limited. I do think that will be updated eventually. You'll be able to do it from your phone, adding one additional for another park.
Okay.
It just hasn't happened yet. So as of right now, you get your three. After you use your three, you can book another one. You could book another one in Magic Kingdom if you'd like. And you would do that from one of the kiosks that they have located in various spots in the park. But if you wanted to park hop, you can only book for that park once you're there. Okay. And again, that is more of a safety net of Disney having a bunch of people booking a ride and then never even going to that park. The Fair fact enough. That you have to go there will then be the impetus of, I'm going to go there and I'm going to keep this appointment. So, you know, they're not all gone, but only 2/3 of the people actually show up. You know, it's just really kind of like a safety guard.
Now, is the FastPass Plus an extra charge onto everything or?
Nope. It's included with your admission.
Okay.
Gotcha. Yeah, there's no additional charge. There's no premium fast passes or anything. Nothing yet. Now, I'm not. I mean, you're going in February. For all we know, there could be an announcement in August at the D23 Expo of some new expansion or whatnot. We really don't know. But as of right now, no. It's included with your park tickets, and you being a guest of the resort, you get to do it 30 days in advance. And
60.
Sorry, 60 days in advance. Yes. And you would do that all through the My Disney Experience app, which I'll show you on your iPad when we're done here. And I'll even show you a little idea of how to book them, because you can book them like, okay, let's just use Magic Kingdom because it's the best. It's like the easiest example because there's so many rides there also. Let's say you want to go on Haunted Mansion, Space Mountain, Splash Mountain. Okay, you want to book those three. You punch them into your screen, you hit, you know, book reservation, and it gives you three times. Well, let's say for whatever reason, you know you're going to have dinner during around that time.
Okay.
You can then go in and modify that ride for another time. So something that me and Melissa wind up doing a lot is I don't book those fast passes till nighttime because it's always busier at nighttime, right after dinner, you know, that kind of a thing. So you go into the park in the morning, take your time. You can go on the attractions. It's not going to be that crazy for the first couple of hours, even if it's a busy day. You got a couple of hours of cushion time before those lines start packing up. Overall, Peter Pan is its own monster. I don't know. It's just always busy. Like, you know, you could be the first person in line. There'll be a 40-minute wait.
Gotcha.
You know, I don't know how it happens, but it really seems to. I would just take your time during the day, hit up the rides that you can. You're going to wait in line 20 minutes, whatever. You know, you just relax, enjoy, go see some character meet and greets if you want.
Yeah.
And then take the middle of the day off. Go to dinner. And then when you come back to the park, you have three fast passes. And this is when all the lines are probably 35 to an hour to plus that, depending on the attraction.
Okay.
But you don't have to care because you've got three rides already booked up and you're just enjoying the park again. The biggest thing about going to Disney that I think gets lost a little bit now with the trying to jam everything into a day is the most fun about the parks is just walking around in the parks sometimes. The attractions are great, but it's everything that's outside of the attractions that is the attraction.
Yeah.
You know, walking through Gaston's Tavern with your daughter will probably be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need a fast pass for that. You know, you can just go and do that. Just walking around the castle, you know, stuff like that. There's a lot of great stuff to do. Animal Kingdom is one of the, you know, is the all-time stroll around park.
Well, I was just going to say that.
It challenges Epcot sometimes.
Yeah.
When Animal Kingdom gets its nighttime hours, it's going to challenge Epcot for that stroll around at night stuff.
Yeah.
So I would, that's what my suggestion would be. Book them later in the day, maybe after your dinner. And then during the first half of your day, just hit what you can, you know, and there you go.
and okay. take your time. Enjoy the sounds and sights because, yeah, especially Animal Kingdom, like, the entire place is just themed so well that, you know, you're just, you don't want to rush past it. You know, you want to fully immerse yourself, and especially the girls. I think they'll love, you know, Animal Kingdom walking through. There's two walkthrough safaris that they can, you know, just take their time and stare at the tigers for 20 minutes. You know, not hopefully not 20 minutes, but, but yeah, like, so, yeah, just take your time. It's the greatest thing to do.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I mean, we're planning on majority of our time will be Magic Kingdom and then going to Animal Kingdom because they love animals.
Yeah.
And I guess that was another thing that I wanted to ask about because when I went, I didn't go to Animal Kingdom at all.
So, okay.
Based on your experience, what would be good kid-friendly, I guess, attractions or...
Honestly, most of the stuff there is kid-friendly, okay. except for Everest, I would say.
Dinosaur is questionable.
Dinosaur can be scary, maybe, for Peyton.
They have height restrictions anyway, they won't
be. But the safari ride is definitely, I've seen...
Yeah, they have Kilimanjaro Safari. I think they'll get a huge kick out of that. And it's a nice, long experience. It's about like 20-something minutes?
At least 20 minutes. Yeah. About 22 minutes.
Definitely fast
pass. They'll have a great time in there. There's, as Melissa was saying, there's a couple of walkthroughs.
Mm-hmm.
The Maharaja Jungle Trek and the Pangani Forest.
Yep. Yeah.
There's also a very unvisited portion of Animal Kingdom.
Okay.
It is Rafiki's Planet Watch, which you get on a little train and it actually takes you to this other spot. You can only get there from the train. Okay. Takes you to another spot and there's a little petting zoo there. And you see the nursery where they, you know, take care of the animals. There's a really cool sound booth where you just put on a pair of headphones and listen to all these nature sounds as it kind of swirls around you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really great place tucked away. A lot of people don't go there. I would highly suggest going there.
Mm-hmm.
They can go to the Boneyard in Dinoland and have fun over there, like, you know, digging up fossils and whatnot.
I would say the bird show. That's a fun thing to watch.
The bird show is good. Yeah.
There's a bird show that's absolutely really, really fun. It's funny. The kids will really get a big kick out of it. The Lion King stage show, I would say, is a must.
That's a must-do. Definitely.
You know, especially for your kids.
Yeah.
They'll jump over the moon for that thing.
Perfect.
There's so much to do in Animal Kingdom. You're going to really like it.
Fellas, Nemo?
If your kids like Nemo... If they don't like Nemo, you can skip Nemo.
It's a theater show, and they tried to do like a mini Broadway type thing. We went and saw it, and they added music to it, and I won't attempt to sing it.
I didn't like it. I didn't like it either. But we are in the minority.
Yeah,
we are.
People love it, but it is. I don't know. I guess being in New York, I see a lot of musicals on Broadway. I've seen many, many musicals on Broadway. And the music in that just drove me out of my brains.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, that's just me. There's a lot of people who love that show.
Yeah.
I miss Tarzan. I don't really miss the Tarzan show. It was fun, but, like, I don't miss it.
What else?
Now, I know they've done some Frozen stuff. Wasn't Disney going to create a Frozen exhibit or some sort of attraction?
They're building an attraction in Epcot. It's not going to be open by February. Okay. I believe the target date is May of next year.
Okay.
So when you go, by that time, you might see some cool stuff. You know, being construction is going to be near to closing. It'll probably be all interior work at that point, possibly. So you may see something, but the attraction itself will not be available yet. And I don't know what's going to be going on in Hollywood Studios. Hollywood Studios, for your trip right now, is a massive wild card.
Mm-hmm.
Because Hollywood Studios in August, their D23 Expo in August, is going to announce Star Wars Land. And whatever else expansions and changes they're going to be doing in Hollywood Studios. By the time you go, Hollywood Studios, quite literally one half the park, might be under construction.
Okay.
So, plan a half day there?
Maybe.
No, I'd say plan a half day there, because just I think the kids will get a huge kick out of Toy Story Mania.
Yeah, for that, I guess, alone.
You know.
But
yeah, I was just going to say, for Toy Story Mania, and you like rides, right? Like thrill rides?
Yeah.
Yes. So then he's going to want to do Tara.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, if you and Carrie want to do a, you know, a handoff, basically, and one of you go and do Tara, and then the next one goes as they watch the kids, I would say that's an absolute must. That's a great ride. Mm-hmm. But Toy Story Mania is fun for all of you.
Okay.
I would not skip that. How would that work, though, with a two-year-old?
Throw it in your lap.
Yeah? They would let that?
Mm-hmm.
With that spinning?
Yeah. Connor did it, I believe.
They did it with Connor. Okay.
Yeah, I've seen them take, like, babies on there.
I think we even took Riley on it when we went a few years ago.
Oh, okay. All right, there you go.
Yeah, I'm not positive with that. But
yeah, okay. That'll be the only... That's really the biggest wild card of your trip. How many nights were you planning on staying?
Let's see. Sunday through Thursday, so Sunday, Monday.
Okay.
Like five nights.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely take a half day there and just kind of take a look around. Also, maybe just take a look around at it. If you're going to have a park hopper, it's not going to cost you anything.
Yeah.
If you're going to have a park hopper, it's not going to cost you any extra. You're not going to spend a whole day's worth in that park.
Mm-hmm.
And then you won't feel like you kind of get gypped out of it a little bit.
Yeah.
So I would go just to hit up the things that you want to do. And also just to kind of get an idea of, oh, what's this going to look like? You know, because at that time, assumedly, you're going to see a lot of walls up, but you'll get an idea of the shape of things to come.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
which
could
be. I'm looking forward to just getting excited about, you know, what's coming.
Yeah.
They could do the Beauty and the Beast stage show.
Oh, unless that's hopefully under construction.
You're pushing that show.
Well, they have the Voyage of the Little Mermaid. That one they're going to.
You can do the Voyage of the Little Mermaid if you want.
Yeah, you can do that.
If you want a stunning spectacular. Are you definitely doing a park hopper?
That was another question I was going to ask. I would like to do it. Is it worth it for the little kids? I guess it sounds like it is.
It can be, yeah,
just
yeah.
For the flexibility.
Yeah, I mean, it's at an expense, but it's not that much more.
Mm-hmm.
But
if you use it one day, you get your money's worth.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, if you're not doing a park hopper, then I would seriously consider not even going to Hollywood Studios.
Absolutely.
But if you're doing a park hopper like Pete said, I would do a half day.
If you're not going to do a park hopper, don't worry about Hollywood
Studios. The first couple of times I went with Kyle, we did not do a park hopper because it just was easier the way we were doing it. But, I mean... It's easy enough to hop between the parks.
I was thinking of, as you were talking about the Beauty and the Beast show, Melissa, that's one of the things I had on the list of, like, must-dos or things that I would like to do there. And obviously the Beauty and the Beast show and the First Time in Forever sing-along and stage show.
If that's still there, yeah. Okay. Because I know they were doing that... over back near Streets of America. I'm not sure if that's going to be under construction. If they're going to move the stage show, that might be something. Some of the stuff also that's on the website right now, they do a lot of Frozen stuff for the summer. Okay. And then that goes away, you know, in the fall and the winter. Yeah. The Frozen Summer Fun or whatever they call it. It's for the summer. So some stuff like that might not be around. But the Beauty and the Beast one will definitely be.
I would imagine that they would keep the Frozen stuff around because it was...
They're going to have something to... make that park at least an option for people to go and visit.
Yeah.
I honestly don't know what that is going to be right now. Mm-hmm. In its current form right now, I can barely squeeze out a half day. I know I can get a half day. I can get a good half day. But that's not good.
Yeah.
You know, I can get more out of Animal Kingdom, which closes at 6 o'clock.
Good to know,
like on purpose because of animals. I mean, that's going to be changing as well. I just, you know, Hollywood Studios needs a retouch. It's getting exactly what it needs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, thank God.
But they do have the stage shows that if you haven't seen or your kids haven't seen, it can extend the day. But
kids would dig the Great Movie Ride too.
Okay.
They would get some fun out of that. Yeah, and that's another, like, the weird thing about Hollywood Studios is a lot of their experiences are lengthy.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
You know, you can, your stage show and your Great Movie Ride, that's like 2 hours, you know, of your day right there. Easy. That's 2 hours of your day. So you don't have to do so much to fill up 5 hours.
Yeah,
you can do that easily.
Okay.
Yes.
And they have a lot of good food there if you're interested in trying.
They do.
Actually, you know, a great lunch that would be a lot of fun for everyone, the 50s Primetime Diner.
Okay.
Or the Sci-Fi Drive-In.
Yeah, either one of those are
really
good.
Be a lot of fun. And those are single points. So you could go there, you know, for a lunch. Or you can go for dinner. You know, maybe... Actually, that would be a suggestion. If you want to spend a half day at Hollywood Studios, let it be the second half. So then you see the place at night, which it looks infinitely better at night.
It's gorgeous, yeah.
And you can have a dinner there, like the 50s prime time, which I think the kids will really love that. And the sci-fi drive-thru, yeah. Either one would they would really like. And then you can go see Fantasmic, which they would probably get a kick out of too. So maybe that changing Hollywood Studios into a nighttime thing would be a good way to go in its current state, just because there's not enough to fill up a day.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you were going to do Hollywood at night and make your fast passes for night at Hollywood, you could spend the morning, you know, walking around Magic Kingdom and just hitting a couple of the little rides like Winnie the Pooh that, you know, usually it's maybe a 20-minute wait, you know, in the morning. You know, those type of loaders like that you can usually get, you know, in the morning before noon, usually.
Well, the other thing you could do with that is use that morning to go to Downtown Disney, look around, or even use that as your kind of rest day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Around, spend the day around the pool and stuff, and then the night go out, you know, go to eat, and then spend the rest of the night in Hollywood Studios.
Yeah.
That's how I would plan that.
You want to dig that pool over at the Art of Animation, that would be a great way to do it.
Yeah.
So.
One thing Carrie asked me to inquire about was the parades. Are there certain parades that go on during the day that a lot of people flock to that may open up rides?
When's the 3 o'clock parade?
It's there's a parade in the midday at 3 o'clock
at Magic Kingdom.
The Fantasy
Festival of Fantasy?
Festival of Fantasy parade. It will bring a lot of people towards Main Street and up through Frontierland. That might free up a little bit of a wait time on other attractions. I mean, how are you guys towards parades? Me personally, I'm whatever towards them. You know, I'm very indifferent towards them. I'll watch them, and then I'll be like, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I never have to watch that again.
We don't not like them, but, you know, every time we go into Sesame Place, I know Riley loves the nighttime parade. We see it in the day, and we see it at night, and she always loves the nighttime. So our idea was, I'm assuming there's a nighttime parade at Disney.
Yes.
Yes.
So we'll hit that one up. So if there's one during the day, and people tend to move towards that and alleviate some of the wait time, we might just blow that one off.
It is two different parades. Like, the one during the day is completely different than the one at night. What are they doing now? The Electro Magic parade at night?
Is it Spectro Magic still?
No, I think they changed. I think they went back to Electro, right?
Went back to Electro?
And all the floats.
Yeah, that's what it's the old one, right?
Yeah. Like,
okay.
Old, not
old,
new.
Yeah, old. Yeah.
The new is the old, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, all the floats have like lights on them, so it's lit up. So it is. It's very, very nice for a nighttime parade. I think that the kids would get a kick out of it. Also, it's nice, and this is what people will do, and you'll see it. They'll sit for the parade and then stay in their seat for the fireworks right in front of the castle. So that's an option. Maybe not a fun one, but if you guys are willing to do it, I don't know. I think that is probably one of the best places to do that. If you're going to sit and watch a parade and then watch the fireworks, like that stuff in Magic Kingdom, you know. And I remember we were saying the old new, the Electro Magic was the parade that they had done back in like the 90s. So I remember when I went as a kid. So I like watching it now. In the middle, they had the Spectro Magic, which was just different floats. Same idea. They're all lit up.
It's the Main Street Electrical Parade.
Yeah,
Main Street
Electrical Parade. So yeah, now they have that back. And yeah, I love the floats. And then they do a little show on the castle where they do like a projection and they have music and it's called Celebrate the Magic. And then the fireworks go on. So it's kind of like a nice progression of parade time, this show, and then the fireworks.
Gotcha.
With little breaks in between.
So what time do people start to flock to stake, you know, a claim on?
If it's busy?
It all depends. Some nights they have two sets of parades at night.
Usually if they're open late,
If they're open late, they'll have two sets. So then the second parade is usually less crowded.
Yeah. But in the winter, I don't know if they do that.
In the winter, I don't know if they do that.
Because they usually close the parks earlier.
Honestly, if you want to get like a good spot, I'd say at least, an hour before to 45 minutes before.
Yeah.
That's the way it is. I mean,
You can, though, get a... I mean, well, during the day, they have FastPass Plus for the daytime parade and for the nighttime Wishes fireworks show. Mm-hmm. And we have used the FastPass Plus for Wishes at night.
Okay.
And it was great. We showed up 5 minutes before the show. We had a great spot on the grass, perfect view. It was great.
Is that FastPass Plus privilege? Like, you have an area where you go?
And that's
designated for FastPass Plus
people?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I mean, you know,
and
we
redid those.
We
sections.
Were showing up at night at Magic Kingdom. We weren't going to do all that many attractions. We wanted to see how this experience was. Mm-hmm. I am not a person who likes to stand for an hour to watch fireworks normally, unless it's like a very special thing. Even for Star Wars weekend, I put the extra money into getting, you know, the Feel the Force premium experience so we would have a reserve spot for the fireworks.
Gotcha.
You know, because I like them, but I like to be able to enjoy them without being crowded too much. And the place that they have you stand is not overly crowded at all.
Okay.
And it, again, it was a great view, and it's manned by, you know, people who are watching everyone. So I really liked it. I thought it was a good use of a fast pass for one night. I wouldn't do it more than once, but I thought it was really good. I thought it was nice.
Yeah. And just to, you know, Epcot does not have any parades that I know of. Hollywood Studios has an afternoon parade, and it's okay. It was Pixar-based, I believe, last time I was there. And then Animal Kingdom has, like, a end-of-the-day type parade. I think it's around, like, 3 or 4.
Are they still
Mickey's
doing
Jam
that?
And Jungle Parade. They, the last time I went, they were still doing it. I don't know if they still are.
No, I think that they stopped doing that because of all the construction.
Okay.
I wasn't sure. Due to all, basically moving stuff in and out for Pandora. It didn't really make a lot of sense, that reasoning, when that was announced. But it's not there right now. It will return.
Okay.
But it is not there at the current time.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, do you have any other, questions?
I guess, just one more, just overall general question. What are some of the attractions or rides other than, like I said, we'll do all the princess stuff, but what are the other rides that they should go up and hit? And experience, because when I was there the last time, I wasn't as invested into planning this trip and doing all these classic rides. We had a couple of them. Like, I believe we were on Peter Pan once. We did the Pirates of the Caribbean. But I'm sure there's a slew of other rides that they should.
All right, well, how about this? Let's go one park at a time, and let's imagine that you had your three fast passes.
Okay.
And what we think you would book.
Okay.
For me, for your kids, Voyage of the Little Mermaid.
Wait, what park are you in?
Magic Kingdom.
Okay, Voyage of the Little Mermaid is the show in Hollywood
Studios.
What's
the name of the
dark
ride?
It's just Under the Sea, the Little Mermaid.
Okay, Under the Sea with Little Mermaid in Magic Kingdom. I would still say Peter Pan.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're going to want to do that, and I think that you would, it's one of the busiest attractions there. Your third one, though,
Dwarves Mine Train. Is she tall enough for that?
Is she tall enough? I mean, I don't know.
Let me
get a height restriction on that. Brian, what would you say?
For fast passes, that's definitely the Under the Sea. Peter Pan, if you're going to want to go on that, because that one...
38 inches, minimum requirement.
Okay.
For Seven Dwarves.
Gotcha.
If you can get them on that, I would absolutely say. I think it's a... awesome attraction.
Yeah,
it's not very long, but it's really well done. It's fun. It's very unlike the other attractions in Magic Kingdom.
Yeah. Okay,
but if not, I would say honestly, I would think maybe about, because I hate sitting there. I'm the same way as Pete, especially with kids; they get bored. I would seriously think about using a fast pass for the Wishes fireworks.
Okay,
I would, if you can't do the Mine Train, or maybe even skipping Peter Pan and doing the Wishes and the Mine Train and Under the Sea.
Okay.
Because, I don't know, you know, sitting there for an hour, it's a lot. It's boring.
Yeah.
You know? One other thing definitely hit up in Magic Kingdom is Enchanted Tales with Belle. Is that the name of it?
Yes.
Oh,
awesome.
Yeah.
That's
absolutely.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I think you can get a fast pass for that, yes?
Yeah, but if you hit it up early enough in the morning, you're not going to have a problem.
Yeah, the line can get pretty lengthy.
It can get, but if you go there early in the morning, you'll be good. Another one that you won't have a long wait for, you don't have to worry about a fast pass, PhilharMagic.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
That's in Fantasyland. It's a 3D movie in a theater, and your kids will love it.
Okay,
your kids will love it.
Awesome.
And if they don't, they're not your children. Very easy.
You know, and then, of course, there's Winnie the Pooh. There's all the regular rides, but none of those really ever require fast passes.
Yeah, you can always get those at a decent time lengths. So that would be Magic Kingdom. What would our three, now, because we kind of like went all over the place on. Wishes, just for the ease of comfort, I would say Wishes would be a nice one to do once.
Mm-hmm.
I think you'll be in Magic Kingdom more than one day.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But for one of the nights, do a Wishes one. Why not? Dwarves, assuming that size-wise, you know, it works out for at least one of the two kids.
Yeah.
And then the third one...
Ariel. Under the Sea.
Yeah.
Ariel ride.
Under the Sea with Ariel. And then do walk-ups for Belle, Winnie the Pooh, and definitely PhilharMagic.
Yeah, PhilharMagic.
Oh, it's a small world, of course.
Yeah, you gotta do Small World.
Yes.
Okay.
I figured that was said. Yes, you have to do Small World.
No, I like it. Would a kid go nuts in there for 20 minutes?
oh, no, no.
I loved it when I was little.
Okay, all right.
You
bring
know
change because you could throw pennies in the water, and that was what I loved when I was little.
You know what? Kyle always liked it because he liked trying to spot the different things in each of the scenes because there's so all much right. going on.
Okay.
So it is like visually interesting for the kids because
right,
there's so much
sense.
To see.
That makes sense.
Great.
Going to Epcot. There's not many choices, really, for you.
For fast passes, none for kids, really, right?
No.
Soarin'? What's the Soarin' height?
Soarin's, I think, higher than that.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I know they have, like, you could put the belt through the loop, but I don't know how. But, I mean, you still have the Three Caballeros in Mexico. That's a fun ride. You know, they updated the Mexico ride to introduce the Three Caballero characters. There we go.
There we go.
Blanking. Into it.
It's 40 inches for Soarin'.
Okay.
So not that much of a difference.
Yeah,
the other
no.
One.
If you can, that definitely you would get
Soarin's
a
fast great ride.
Well.
Have you been on that?
No, I haven't.
Soarin' is really a gorgeous experience. If you can get on there, and that's an absolute, like, if you want to do that, you need a fast pass. It's just so much easier.
Yeah.
Okay. Because there's not much to do in Epcot, so that line could get upwards of 2 hours plus.
Gotcha.
So I would say Soarin' and...
Spaceship Earth, I think.
You might as well. You can get a fast pass for it. The wait usually isn't more than 20, 25 minutes anymore, but it's just easier again with a fast pass plus because then it's 5 minutes. Not
okay.
And then I would just say walk around and enjoy.
Yeah.
You can walk on to Journey in Imagination. No one goes on that thing.
Yeah.
So you don't have to worry about that. That ride probably has a limited lifespan on it as of right now.
Yeah,
And you know what? I'm sorry to interrupt. I know you can get fast passes for the character meet spot, the character greet spot.
Okay,
it's basically a runway of the Disney, the Fab, you know,
Fab
the Fab Five of the Disney characters, and you can get a fast pass for that. And I would definitely recommend that. And they got cool backgrounds for each of the different characters and stuff.
Yeah, okay.
And
that's
they
a
take
really
a nice
good point.
Yeah, they
that's
take
really
nice they
point.
Take nice pictures, and they you know, they let the parents jump in. It's a nice way to meet the characters because it's not as rushed. They're not kind of like, all right, quick, get out of here, get the next one in.
Okay.
Oh, that might be the other one in Magic Kingdom that they would want.
Oh,
Princess
Fairy Tale? Anna and Elsa.
Anna and Elsa, that's in Magic Kingdom, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to
you
need...
know what?
Well,
but
you're
going to
be there
go,
a couple days.
Yeah,
yeah.
You're
going to
need a couple of days in Magic
days.
Kingdom. Yeah. Magic Kingdom is a... You can go to Magic Kingdom 3 days, all day, and you'll find new stuff to do every time.
Yeah, I mean...
So
tentatively, I've scheduled out the week, and we're in the Magic Kingdom at least 2.5.
Good,
yeah, that's
good.
That's great. That's the right number.
The way I figure, you know, that's where the girls are going to want to be the most time.
And then going to Animal Kingdom with your kids, I would say Bugs Life, Kilimanjaro
Safari, definite.
And how are they with spinny rides? Have you ever had any, like, experience with that?
Riley's got motion sickness, so...
Okay, so that there goes that. Because I was going to say the dino spin, whatever that is. I never go on that.
I went
on it once, actually. It was fun, but I won't go on it again.
But even the petting zoo you were talking about, that sounds like a
yeah,
really
I would.
Thing.
Yeah, then I would just really do the safari, do bugs. You know, it's tough to be a bug, 3D. And then, you know, do the walkthrough safaris and go to the petting zoo over in Rafiki's Planet Watch.
Yeah, and maybe
and
see the
you know what
Bercha.
The great thing about that place is? Talk to the cast members.
Yes.
Okay.
The people who are at the posts and teaching, you know, about the animals that are on display, stop and actually listen to them because they have a lot of fun information, and I think the kids will get a good. And then they have little things for the kids to, like, show them, to keep them engaged.
They could do the Wilderness Explorer thing.
Oh, yeah, that's
whole day.
That's always
fun.
The Wilderness Explorer experience, or however you want to call it. They basically get a book that they have to get filled out, and they fill out with information. They get stamps and stickers.
Okay.
And it's all towards their wilderness badge, like up, you know? So that would be something you could do as you're going through the park and experiencing your attraction.
Yeah, the attractions, because it goes through each, you know, section, and there'll be certain pages that'll tell you where to go and what to find, and there's people in those stations that then the girls will talk to and show them their books, and they'll get the stickers. It's a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun. Even, you know, if it was just you and Carrie, I would actually suggest doing this. It's a lot of fun. Hollywood Studios, Toy Story Mania,
Beauty and the Beast. I would see The Voyage of the Little Mermaid.
And, yeah, bring them to that, I guess.
We've had this argument last week. I like the show.
I think
the girls will love it. It's Ariel.
And that's, I don't know, Brian, would you say something different for that one?
That's not it. Really. I mean,
Star Tours?
Unless you want to, yeah, for you, Star Tours, Star Tours. Fast Tours for yourself.
But Star Tours, I feel like that's a walk-on.
It kind of is. Because
it takes so many people.
It does. It takes so many people.
It has to be really crazy. Even Star Wars weekend when we were there,
it
was a 30-minute wait. That was it.
Yeah.
And that's like primo Star Wars time.
Yeah.
Because it takes so many. It's such a people eater.
I think it sits, each thing sits between 30 or 40 people in each one. And there's how many? Four or five of them?
Four,
I think there's more, because there's six, like A through F, isn't there?
I don't remember.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, there's some crazy number.
Six through eight, like, so there's 30 or 40 people in each of those. And then the people waiting already on those lines to get on it next.
Okay.
It eats a lot of people.
Yeah.
Literally.
So, all right. Well, let's wrap up the night. We are definitely way over that our normal time, but it was good. I don't know how helpful that was.
No, that was really helpful. I mean,
okay.
You know, you guys, in my mind, are the experts because you guys go a lot.
We're okay.
At least close to home to me.
There you go.
You obviously have a much bigger volume of knowledge than I do, so...
I think you're going to be good. We'll go over this as you get closer to it, especially when you get to your 6-month mark on booking your dining reservations and this and that. But I'm also going to give you the information for the travel agent that we know that helped
Perfect.
Doing
That'd
us with
awesome.
Our cruise and whatnot.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really great way to go. But then never forget to tailor your trip to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the thing, because you're still going to want to do the fun stuff that you want to do.
Yeah.
So as long as you want, using help is great, but always remember that it's your vacation.
Yeah.
So, okay, guys, right now you're probably hearing some music, if I did my job correctly. Which one is it? Expialidocious is playing right now by Pogo, who might be returned to the show in a month.
Cool.
Nice. Yeah, just about a month we're aiming for. So hopefully he'll be back on. That's going to be on the Film Basement show. That's the adults only show.
He was super nice. Super fun.
Yeah, Pogo was fun. He was good. He's good people, man. You can go and find his videos over on youtube.com/Pogo. You can find his music over at soundcloud.com/Pogo Mix. And his home web address is pogomix.net. We are lastgenpodcast.com. Find us on Twitter at lastgenpodcast. Find us on Facebook after the same name. And our specific group for this podcast is the Disney Magic Hour podcast group. It's a mouthful. And head on over to iTunes. Hit that subscription button. Give us a 5-star review, please. I don't know why I did that. I don't care.
You should start singing more.
Nah, I don't want to sing. I want to dance. So thanks for tuning in, guys. We will see you next week when we will do something else. Until then, say goodnight, Brian.
Good night, Brian.
Say good night, Melissa.
Good night, Melissa.
Say good night, Don.
Good night, Don.
Good night, Pete. Say good night, Pogo.
dispatch.